Text we're reading is text 40. Everyone have a Bhagavad Gita translation? Okay. Nama purastat ata pristas naste. Namos tu te savata eva sava. Ananta vyamita vrikamastvam Savam samapnosi tatosi sava. Because of shortage of time, we'll just do this with sequence and then I'll read the translation. Obeisances to you from the front, from behind and all sides, all unbounded power. You are the master of limitless might. You are all pervading, and thus you are everything. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestha Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deva Gora Fani Pacharine Nivishesha Shunyavati Vasatati Sitarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shravita Kadara Shivasari Gora Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. The purport is quite short too. Almost forgot to read. Purport: out of loving ecstasy for Krishna, his friend, Arjuna is offering his respects from all sides. He is accepting that he is the master of all potencies and all prowess and far superior to all the great warriors assembled on the battlefield. It is said in the Vishnu Purana 1.9.69, Yayam Tavagato Deva Samipam Devata Gana Satwam Eva Jagashrata Yata Sava Kato Bhavan. Whoever comes before you, even if he be a demigod, is created by you, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this, for my lack of experience and realization, is quite short. It's quite a short chapter. I mean, quite a short translation. But because it's an auspicious day, it's Krishna's autumn Rasa Lila today and the last day of Kartik. So I'll try as much as possible to present the aspects of the glories of the Lord, because this chapter, the universal form, is about the glories of the Lord, basically. So Arjuna here, we see him, he's amazed in the mood of awe and reverence of Sri Krishna. So I'll first try to dissect the whole translation in all. So Krishna here is described as one who is unbound, who has unbounded power. Unbounded power is something that is unheard of in this world. We have leaders, we have people who wield certain influences, presidents, kings. Even in the animal kingdom, we have lions and all sorts of creatures who wield power. But what is the meaning of unbounded power? Can the rational mind be able to comprehend something like that, unbounded power? What Arjuna sees here? First of all, the Bhagavad Gita. In the second chapter, it is said that one cannot understand the Bhagavad Gita by licking, just by outside understanding or licking the outside bottle of honey. That's the understanding of the Bhagavad Gita from non-devotees. So this universal form, chapter 11, is from the dint of self-realization. Arjuna is actually seeing Krishna's universal form, while the other people assembled in the battlefield of Kurukshetra cannot see what Arjuna is seeing. Not like some of them can see, like Bhishma Dev, which is the last day of Bhishma Panchaka today, he could see it, and other elevated devotees could see the universal form, but others could not see it. Why is that? Because Arjuna and all the other elevated devotees were imbued with the chit potency. this Prabhupada is describing that Krishna is the master of all potencies. I've just described the chit potency. The chit potency is basically the spiritual potency of the Lord. Even the chit potency, the material potency, is basically spiritual. Not basically, it's spiritual because it emanates from the spiritual potency. So that's why we have the system of Bhakti Yoga, whereby we use whatever material elements or whatever material acquisitions we have for devotional service, and then somehow, just like a rod bent in the fire, the rod becomes like the fire itself. So basically, anything material when used for Krishna becomes chit. It becomes spiritualized, basically. So the chit potency is one of the three main potencies of Krishna. And then there's the Shakti potency, the Maya Shakti potency, and then the Jiva Shakti potency. The Jiva Shakti potency basically is known also as the Tatastha Shakti, which represents all the living entities, the minute spirit souls, us basically, the marginal potency. And then we have the Maya Shakti or the Biranga potency, which is the material world, basically, or the material nature, comprising of all the 24 elements. Some philosophers argue that there are 12. In the 11th canto, we find a conversation between Uddhava and Sri Krishna. Krishna says he accepts the arguments of all these philosophers as long as they can support what they are saying. But basically, what Krishna is saying himself is that there are 24 elements of material nature. So, basically, because we're glorifying the Lord, I'll like read one excerpt before I describe the other parts of the purport. I've just described about the potencies. And these potencies do not affect Krishna in any way, because he's the possessor of the potencies. He is not affected by the Maya Shakti potency, the material potencies, as the Mayavadis suppose. So they think that Krishna, who is the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita, is just one of us. When he says that, in chapter 2, verse 11, when he says that neither any of us here have... Okay, all of us here are individuals. He describes that we're all individuals, whether in the past, present, in the future, we will always be individuals. It's not that when this body is done, we merge into some impersonal void or impersonal Brahman, because he says also he is the basis of the impersonal Brahman. So let me not go around a lot. Let me just read from this great book here, the Sri Narad Pancharatra. It's by Sri Krishna Jayapana Vyasa, the compiler of the Veda, of the Vedantra Sutra and Srimad Bhagavatam, more especially. There's a description here. There's a festival going on, and the demigods are beholding Krishna, like ascending from his... descending from his spiritual, from the spiritual world. There was a festival going on, and the descriptions here are befitting what Arjuna is seeing, whether it's in awe and reverence, but there's also that the mood of like friendship with Krishna. There's also that intimate mood, but because he's seeing the universal form, he is so captivated. Of course, that's the workings of the Ladini potency of the Lord too. So, I'll describe from almost the middle. It starts here. When the brahmanas and demigods heard about the pathetic lamentation of the gopis of Gokula, as Krishna was leaving for Mathura, they forgot their external surroundings. When they sometimes regained their composure, they cried out loud and gave many gifts in charity. As Upabhana was describing the lamentation of the gopis due to the separation from Krishna, he became so overwhelmed by ecstasy that his voice choked up, so that his singing was thrown into confusion and the performance became disturbed. That's during the festival going on here. This disruption in the performance made the demigods and sages so furious that fire was suddenly produced from their mouths. The Gandhava Upabhana became frightened upon seeing the blazing fire emanating from the mouths of the demigods. and sages in the audience saw, and sages in the audience. So he quickly remembered his worshipful Lord, the super soul of all living entities, Sri Krishna. As soon as Upabahana remembered Lord Krishna, a powerful effulgence appeared in the sky. The demigods and sages became stunned upon seeing it, so they remained still like figures painted in a picture. By the influence of that powerful effulgence, the blazing fire emanating from the demigods and sages' mouths became dim, and indeed they began to yawn. On the other hand, the remembrance of Lord Krishna gave Narada fearlessness, auspiciousness, and freedom from all obstacles. This Gandhava Upabahana is Narada Muni himself. He was cursed by his father, Lord Brahma, to be a Gandhava. When Lord Brahma wished for him to get married, Narada Muni sort of went through an outburst. How can a spiritual master encourage one to be in bondage, marriage, a real spiritual master? It went on for two ratras, basically, that argument between Lord Brahma and Lord Narada Muni. But eventually, they cursed each other, and one of the curses was that Narada Muni was going to be a Gandhava. So in this particular moment, because Narada Muni is a pure devotee even before the curse, he naturally remembered his Lord, Sri Krishna, when he was in any sticky situation. So I'll continue in text 14. All of the demigods, sages, celestial ladies, Gandhavas, and others gazed with awe at the influence of Lord Krishna's potency. It was like a thick fog having the effulgence of millions of moons. It was sublime, enchanting, and one yojana in length and breadth. All of the assembled spectators saw within that effulgence an excellent chariot that was 4 miles in length and indescribably tall. That chariot was made of priceless jewels and had been fashioned by the will of the Supreme Lord. It had 1,000 wheels and was drawn by 1,000 white horses. Text 17. The chariot was very pleasing to see. This is the last part. This is the special part of the readings, basically, about the glorification. The chariot was very pleasing to see with its many wonderful paintings. It traveled at the speed of mind and was decorated with garlands of pearls and precious gems. It was also decorated with 100,000 mirrors having gold frames, 300,000 white cameras. That's famous, eh? In the Vaikuntha planets, Krishna is, okay, that's funded form. But, and 300,000 flags made of fine cloth. There were 3 million apartments containing everything imaginable for enjoyment, not for our enjoyment, man. And each of them was decorated with parijata and mandara flowers. Everyone in the assembly saw that chariot, which was decorated with 300,000 garlands of malati flowers. In the middle of the chariot was the ever youthful Lord Shyamasundara, who was dressed in fine yellow garments. He was wearing jeweled armlets, bracelets, and anklets. His cheeks reflected his effulgent jeweled earrings. His face was smiling brightly, so that it looked as if he was very pleased. He was the worshipable lord of both demigods and demons. His body was decorated with sandalwood pulp and flowers, garlands. The brightly shining Kustava gem beautified his broad chest. He was the supreme personality of Godhead, the supreme absolute truth, the source of the total material ingredients, the super soul of all living entities, and the supreme controller. He was always glorified by great personalities such as Lord Brahma, Shiva, and Shesha. He always resides in the heart of Sri Radha. He is unapproachable by the Vedas. He is supremely independent. He is the master of all, and he is no master. He is eternal, free from all material qualities, greatly effulgent, the origin of all, and is situated beyond the material nature. He is very eager to bestow mercy upon his devotees. His beauty is equal to that of million cupids. He is the abode of all transcendental pastimes. He is most enchanting. He wears a crown that is decorated with peacock feathers, and he plays his enchanting flute. Such a befitting. There's more, of course, when each of the demigods, they start glorifying the Lord personally, from Lord Brahma to Kartikeya, everyone starts describing what they see and they pray. So there's more, but I won't continue on that because that's not the point of the class today. Basically, It also says here, about, like Srila Prabhupada says here, based on the Vishnu Purana, whoever comes before you, even if he be a demigod, is created by you, O Supreme Personality of Godhead. Like here it's described that he is the Lord of both the demigods and the demons also. So basically, when one meditates on such a verse, like everything that seems troublesome in our lives seems like it's like a tiny speck when you see that everything that you see around you is an emanation of the Lord's potencies and the Lord's power. But actually, this chapter it culminates into Arjuna seeing the two-handed Shyamasundara form of Krishna, which is the point of the whole Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna wants us to meditate on that form of his, that dearest form. So basically, I also have something here that is based on the description of Ananta Deva. But before that, okay, Ananta Deva. This is from the Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's just a few verses. Ananta Deva is a Shakti Avesha, not a Shakti Avesha avatar. It's one of the avatars in the category, not a Shakti Avesha avatar. Lord Ananta, he is the bastard of Lord Sankarshan. So it says here, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, the four Kumaras, Sanaka, Sanatan, Sanandana, Sanat Kumara, Vyasadev, Sukadev Goswami, and Arada are all pure devotees, pure eternal servants of the Lord. Lord Sri Ananta is worshipful by all of the uncontaminated devotees mentioned above. He has thousands of hoods and is the reservoir of all devotional service. Lord Ananta is the original person and the great mystic controller. At the same time, he is the servant of God, a Vaishnava. So we can see that if an avatar can be a Vaishnava, a great Vaishnava, what to think of Krishna's glories then? Like an avatar, what to think of us? How can we imagine the power of the Lord himself? Yet his inconceivable pastimes, he comes here with Lord Balaram as a young boy. We've just celebrated Lord Damoda, the month of Kartik, like Krishna's pastimes being bounded by Mother Yashoda. It's unimaginable how can he appear. It's bewildering for us. How can he appear in front of us as a young person? And more especially if we're not imbued with the chit potency, which is the requirement for anyone to realize the Lord's full glory. Like I can say Dhruva Maharaj, when he was meditating on the Lord, he saw the Lord in his Vaikuntha form, the four-handed form. At that time, when he saw the Lord, he forgot all about his material desires and material aspirations, and he started actually yearning for pure devotional service. And you can see that he was not at all inclined towards the awe and reverence and the potencies of the Lord, or even seeking of a kingdom or seeking of a wealth that he was seeking of before. So this also connotates with a verse that I read before I came here, which was kind of very relevant to what we're discussing here. It's on page 114 of the Sri Brahma Samhita. It's a very difficult text. This is one of the last verses. He says to Lord Brahma, "Listen, O Vidhi, I am the seed that is the fundamental principle of this world of animate and inanimate object. I am Pradhana, the substance of matter. I am Prakriti, material cause. I am Purusha, efficient cause. This fiery energy that also belongs specially to the Brahman that inheres in you has also been conferred by me. It is by bearing this fiery energy that you regulate this phenomenal world of animate and inanimate objects." Like Lord Brahma could realize this purport, or what Krishna is saying here, when he started engaging in pure devotional service through the performance of tapasya. Tapasya in this movement is very easy. Prabhupada says we just chant Hare Krishna, take prasadam, and follow the four regulative principles. And basically, there is more for anyone who wants an acceleration into quick advancement. For instance, in the mornings, I'll just go to the personal part of what I do for devotional service. Is one should eat less, even not eating, chanting many rounds and not eating at all in the morning or eating less. You actually feel the spiritual potency around you and you get opportunities for service. And that's the most beautiful thing that can happen to anyone, like being constantly in touch with Seva, Sri Krishna Seva, Sri Radha Krishna Seva. So we all want that, and it protects us from the influence of material energy or Maya. So basically, we cannot see what Arjuna is seeing if we are not careful with our devotional service, mainly if we don't follow the extra tapasyas that can accelerate our devotional service. I would frankly advise like anyone to kind of like push yourself too hard, but make a balance. Because actually, when you realize even a bit or even a tiny drop of the cheat potency, you get encouraged into performing more and more. It's like a search. It's like the more you discover something in chanting, is the more you add more rounds and the more you start to enjoy the chanting. I cannot say if it's Sudanam, it's not Sudanam, of course, it's just some taste, some ruchi is approached. So, basically, 5 minutes left, and any questions? This was one of the most difficult classes for me because it has a short potency. I'll repeat again the translation. Obeisance is to you from the front, from behind, and from all sides. O unbounded power, you are the master of limitless might. You are all-pervading, and thus you are everything. It's a very short translation and very short purport, so it deals directly with realization, what Arjuna is actually seeing. Any questions? This is my dear business, eh? Okay. I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay. I would think because it was a pure devotee, he would say something like that. Okay. All right. Any comments? Thank you. Any comments, questions? Yes. Oh, this one's a very wonderful book. I've been reading it. It's like the Sri Narada Pancharatra. Part 1 is like volume 1. It's very special because it's like it talks about Narada Muni's like earlier life and basically his life. Part 2 is when he start to instruct about the different rituals and of devotional service, the different mantras. It's more technical, part 2, but part 1 is just about his life. Is very, very special. I would advise anyone to delve into this book. Yeah, this is the treasure of Krishna consciousness, the books. That's all we have in Kali Yuga and the Maha Mantra and devotees and prasadam and it goes on. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.